Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Hope today finds you doing well on this nice Saturday, about to say morning, this nice Saturday afternoon. Hope you're safe and doing well wherever you are. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, be aware of the aforementioned fruit bat alert. That means if you call on this show or if you're in the chat room and you want to indulge in excessive profanity, character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, just disrupting the program for no reason other than to disrupt the program, trolling, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, you know, just be respectable in your interaction on this program. Okay, we're all adults here, you know, and basically I want productive discussion, not just a, you know, kindergarten sand slinging match, you know, stuff like that. But just be mindful of that. Anyway, pull up the old chat room. For some reason, my chat room has been malfunctioning for the past several weeks. I don't know why, but, you know, we're going to do it again. Love to have my chat room because I love to see people who come on the program, how they react and interact. I like to see their little thoughts of wisdom or whatever, you know. I love to see people interact with this program, you know. So, but I want to start the show off with something I found very interesting. Sometimes, you know, going through my day or whatever, something will pop in my head and I say, well, let me check this out. Let me go and just check this thing out right here. Probably a little more than 20 years, around the turn of the century, there were allegations that black people shouldn't be using the word picnic because as it was being told, the word picnic comes from several words put together, which means pick a N-word. And people were getting offended at it. And they say, you know, I'm not going to use the word picnic anymore. Now, around in through the 90s, I say around the mid 90s into the 21st century, I'd say about 2010, there was a lot of bulletins being shot through email sent to people saying you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. I'll give you a good example. One person received a warning in their email saying you should never lick envelopes because there was an incident involving someone who licked an envelope and they cut their, they got a paper cut on their tongue. And the envelope and the person, you know, after that incident, roaches came out of it. And now me being an entomologist, I'm like, you know what? That does not sound viable because roaches lay their eggs in a pouch, looks almost like a sofa cushion. And they lay their eggs in that. So if a roach had laid eggs on the, you know, envelope, you would have been able to see that pouch. You know, but, you know, there were warnings coming through. You know, there was another warning saying if someone's approaching you and their lights are cut off and you flash your lights at them, well, of course, you're driving in the dark. But if you flash your lights at them and turn on their headlights, that's a sign of a gangster initiation. And they'll turn and follow you. And, you know, when they catch up to you, they'll kill you because it's a gang initiation. All these are what they call urban legends. And a lot of these is just stuff people is throwing out there, you know, to rile people off, you know, to get people, in a way, I would say it's a vehicle of fear, basically. And people say, oh, I ain't going to lick no more envelopes. Oh, when I'm driving down the street and someone got their headlights off, I'm not going to flash my headlights because that might be a gang initiation. Well, same thing with this word called picnic. Now, before I go to this site, I want to give you a disclaimer. Snopes is owned by... I forgot the guy's name. I think it's George Stephanopoulos, who is a big time lefty, and he started this. He started this website to, you know, dispel all the myths and everything out there and whatever. And I wouldn't recommend going here for information. I wouldn't recommend it. You know, if you still want to go, that's your business. You know, but I wouldn't recommend it. But This entry into Snopes was very interesting. And let me go to Snopes. And this article in Snopes was published January 21st, 2001. That's 22 years ago. That's around the time, you know, people were, you know, getting their panties in a bind about the word picnic. So the article says, did the word picnic originate with lynchings? And under the title, it says, neither the concept nor the word picnic originated with crowds gathering to witness extrajudicial racial hangings. Now, when it comes to certain people, you know, when it comes to the apostles of blackness, they don't care about that. They heard it, you know, and they accept it as truth. And you can expose it. You can show the truth about the word picnic all you want to. They still think it's offensive. So going into the article, and it makes it says, this is the claim, is the claim. The word picnic originated with crowds gathering to witness lynchings. And the rating they gave it was false. Not somewhat false, not maybe half truth or whatever. No, it's just pretty much, it's just plain out false. And it starts like this. Specious etymology. Specious means misleading. And etymology is word origins. Seem to be all the rage of late. And a dubious claim about picnic fits that trend. This email is being sent to you as a public service announcement and as information in the form of a little-known Black history fact. And they probably chose the right people, because a lot of times when Black people, you know, they get a hold of something that's even slightly or just hints at racism, they just go full bore on it. This information can also be found in the African American Archives at the Smithsonian Institute. Although not taught in American learning institutions and literature, it is noted in most Black history professional circles and literature that the origin of the term picnic derives from the acts of lynching African Americans. The word picnic is rooted from the whole theme of pick a N-word. This is where individuals would pick, quote unquote, a Black person to lynch and make this into a family gathering. There would be music and a, quote unquote, picnic, Nick being the white acronym for the N-word. Now, Nick is not an acronym. Acronym means that it basically means the word is an abbreviation for several other words, basically. Scenes of this were depicted in the movie Rosewood. Now, I'll tell you, if you're going to a movie to get some historical fact, if that movie is not a documentary, and I will warn you about watching some documentaries because they have falsehoods too, but in general, if it's not a documentary, it's not something you can learn something from. The movie Rosewood, I've never seen it, but the movie Rosewood is basically a docudrama. Well, not a docudrama, but it's basically entertainment that was based on a true story. Loosely based, I'll say that. Let me go on. We should choose to use the word barbecue or outing instead of the word picnic. Please forward this email to all your family and friends and let's educate our people. Our people probably meaning Black people. In fact, neither the concept nor the word picnic has anything to do with crowds gathering to witness the lynching of Blacks or anyone else for that matter in America. Picnic began life as a 17th century French word. It wasn't even close to being an American invention. A 1692 edition of Origines de la Langue Francoise de Menage, I guess that's how you pronounce it, mentions picnique, quote unquote, as being of recent origin and marks the first appearance of the word in print. As for how the French came by this new term, it was likely invented by joining the common form of the verb piquer, meaning to pick or peck, with unique, possibly either a Germanic term meaning worthless thing or merely a nonsense rhyming syllable coined to fit the first half of this new palate pleaser. You know, pick, nick, you know, it rhymes. The syllables rhyme. The first documented appearance of the term outside the French language occurred in 1748. But picnic was rarely used in English prior to 1800 or thereabouts, Even then, the word still wasn't being used in America, but rather in England, and referred to a fashionable potluck social affair that was not necessarily held out of doors. Originally, the term described the element of individual contribution each guest was supposed to make towards the repast, as everyone who had been invited to social events styled as picnics was expected to turn up bearing a dish to add to the common feast. This element was picked up in other picnic terms, such as picnic society, which described gatherings of the intelligentsia where everyone was expected to perform or in some other way contribute to the success of the evening. Over time, the meaning of the word shifted to emphasize an alfresco element that had crept into the evolving concept of what such gatherings were supposed to be. Nowadays, one thinks of a picnic as a casual meal partaken in a pastoral setting, not as a repast enjoyed either indoors or outdoors, and which was contributed to by everybody. Modern picnics can be provisioned by only one cook, and no one would think anything of it. What matters now is the food be eaten outdoors. And that's how I always thought a picnic was. You know, a lot of times when you think of a picnic, you think of somebody laying out a blanket on a field and, you know, they got this basket and, you know, and they got all this food and they just enjoy themselves, you know. But beware of Yogi Bear so he won't steal your picnic basket. But anyway, by the 19th century, picnic had successfully made this linguistic shift in meaning. Its history and that of every other word in the English language is documented in the Oxford English Dictionary, and nowhere in its lengthy OED entry is mention made of executions or lynchings of blacks. The fact that this etymology is spurious hasn't deterred some from being offended by it, of course. You know, especially in a black, and once you get the lie out to the apostles of blackness, and they start to believe it, when you show them the truth, they're still going to believe the lie. As noted in this excerpt from a 2000 National Post article, meanwhile, things are not peachy on the campus of SUNY, I guess that's University of New York, Albany. The university wanted to honor baseball legend Jackie Robinson by having a picnic. But the university's equity office said this must not occur because the word picnic referred originally to gatherings held to lynch blacks. In fact, as one of their own English professors, rather less committed to historical revisionism than RMC's Dr. Robinson pointed out, the word picnic actually comes from a 17th century French word that denotes a party at which everyone brings food. But Zahir Mustafa, the equity officer, nevertheless decreed that picnic not be used because the point is the word offends. It just offends, you know. So the university decided to call it an outing. Then homosexual students took objection to that, and SUNY decided to publicize the event without using any noun to describe it. Now, this is the interesting, this is one of the more interesting parts. The last two paragraphs here, this is one of the more interesting parts of this article. As Richard Jones noted in Black Voice News, there's a very real downside to spouting hoax definitions just because they push a few buttons. It makes those doing the protesting look ignorant. Exactly. Those who run with their emotions instead of using their heads end up doing the racist work for them by making themselves appear to be too foolish to crack open a dictionary. And this caricature is not something that should be fostered if racism is to be defeated. Many black people are too quick to believe the negative rumors. Therefore, I refuse to contribute to national ignorance. These type of hoaxes only serve to make black people look stupid and by no means is an advancement in education. It is too easy to go to the library and research the origin of words in dictionaries and or encyclopedias to believe and spread every bit of garbage that comes through cyberspace. My point exactly. My point exactly. That's what I've been talking about on this show for the past 14 years. You throw something to the apostles of blackness, and they will jump to conclusions at the drop of a hat. Oh, this is racist. This is racist. This is racist. And then when you show them the truth, because a lot of these people are mentally and intellectually lazy, when you show them the truth, they don't want to hear it. They've already made up their minds. I'm going to believe this whether you say it's a lie or not. I'm going to believe this whether it is a lie or not. That's why so many of us today are so caught up in racism. That's why so many of us, we're so caught up in viewing our world, our surroundings, our environment through a lens of racism. It's got to be something racist to it. Oh, that police officer pulled that guy over. Must be something racist to it because he's white and that person is black. But you didn't look and check and see that the person was going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. All that you're concerned about is that the police officer is white and that the person in the car is black and that they're just harassing this person for no reason whatsoever. Even though that same police officer would just as readily pull over a white person who is going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. No, that doesn't matter to you. What matters to you is that that police officer is white, that driver is black. That means that police officer is a member of the KKK. That's all that matters. Hey, Suzette, how you doing? I think it's Suzette. And you know what? I don't know why I didn't think of this before I did the show. I'm going to leave the link to this Snopes article. And like I said, I do not recommend you go to Snopes because if you go to Snopes, go there with your thinking cap on because sometimes they'll say things that are they'll say that this is not true. It kind of reminds me of the fact checkers on Facebook. You know, they only fact check the facts that matter to them. But every now and then, the truth does get out. And I do believe that this article that I just read is a truthful article. But let me leave the link in the chat room, and you can pick it up and check it out for yourself. Now, what I just discussed in what I just read in that article is basically what I've been discussing on this program for 14 years. We tend to jump to conclusions when a black person has a negative reaction with a white person. And we tend to jump to conclusions. Oh, they only did that because he was black. But you have no evidence that that is the case. No evidence whatsoever. And then when the evidence comes out and proves you wrong, you still want to hold on to your original thought. It's called cognitive dissonance. And I think cognitive dissonance is a very, is a fancy way of saying stupidity. When the truth is presented to you, but you still want to believe the lie, you're stupid. And stupid is not a word that I like to use quite often. I might use it more often than I wish to, but you know, sometimes you just gotta call a spade a spade. Someone shows you the truth about something, they give you the evidence, they lay it down, boom, boom, boom. But you still wanna go with your original thought, you're stupid. Stupidity has nothing to do with you not knowing something. That's ignorance. And we tend to use the word ignorance and stupidity interchangeably so that when you say somebody is ignorant, they feel insulted because they feel like you're calling them stupid. No, ignorant means you just don't know something. Like me, I'm ignorant to the fact of the culture of Africa, maybe. You know, I'm trying to find a good example. But ignorance just means you don't know something. Ignorance is not an insult. Really, stupidity isn't. But stupidity seems to hit a little harder, you know, with some people. And that's why, you know, when they interchange ignorance with stupidity, you know, people, they feel that, what are you saying? I'm stupid? No, I'm not saying you're stupid. You just don't know. Doesn't mean you're stupid. But what I will say is if you have the opportunity to search out a matter, but you refuse to do so based on laziness or you think somebody's supposed to do your thinking for you, you're stupid. There's no better way. There's no better way to explain it. You're stupid. You just don't want to look it up because it's going to take some of your time. But you have an opportunity to expand your intellect, but you choose not to do it. That is stupidity. That is the essence of stupidity. And it's not an insult. It really isn't. But we use ignorance and stupidity so much over the years as an insult when you call someone that, you know. Now, see, I'm not just going to haul off and call you stupid because you don't know something that I know or something like that. I'm not going to do that. Now, that's stupid. But if you have the opportunity to gain some knowledge about something, but you refuse to do it, and you still want to continue in your original mode of thinking, yeah, you are stupid. You're stupid. And sad to say, don't want to say this about my fellow black people, but a lot of you all are stupid. Stupid people will listen to anything the news media says and take it to heart and think that they're being told the truth. That's what a stupid person is. Instead of saying, okay, I hear what this guy is saying. Let me check to see if what he is saying is true. But no, you don't want to do that. You just want to sit down and eat cookies and cream and watch the latest soap opera on TV, but you don't want to expand your intellectual view. So you're stupid. That's what causes you stupid. That's what causes you to be stupid. But anyway, I hope I explained that as best as I can, you know. Some people still get offended at it, you know, they'll probably still get offended and whatever. But a lot of you all out there who call yourselves African Americans and you always, getting swayed by what you hear on the news, a lot of you all are stupid. So, and those who wake up, their eyes are open, you know, their stupidity is melted off of them. So they're no longer stupid. There've been things I've been stupid into, you know. So don't feel so offended at it, you know. But anyway, let's see. Oh, okay. I got Suzette in the chat room, and I got Sarge in the chat room. Welcome to the show. And I think Pianki is in the queue. And he's got his hand raised. And you all know how I do it. I like to get out when I have to get out, then I'll go to the phone. So I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that. That's not my intention, but, you know, that's just how it is. But anyway, I wanted to pull up a second article. And this one is very interesting. And this shows the stupidity of a lot of people. Several months ago, my wife and I, we pulled up a movie on Salem Now. Salem Now is an app, and they got some great movies on there. They got a movie about Clarence Thomas, who people are trying to demonize today. Of course, they've been trying to demonize Clarence Thomas for 30 years. You know, the two most hated people in the country among the liberals is Clarence Thomas and Donald Trump. Those are the two most hated people. But my wife and I, we got several movies over there. If you're looking for a movie called Uncle Tom, you'll find it there. Uncle Tom and Uncle Tom 2 are excellent movies. They're excellent documentaries, you know. And for those of you all who are members of the Apostles of Blackness, I would advise you to go there and check out a couple of those movies. But of course, some of you all don't want to do that because, oh, that's conservative. Oh, this is anything conservative. There you go. You're limiting your intellectual expansion because, oh, it's a conservative. But one of the movies that my wife and I pulled up was a movie called Michelle Obama 2024. And it talks about, you know, is Michelle Obama going to run for president in 2024? I wouldn't encourage her to do it because I don't think she would run, but I would love to see a debate between her and Donald Trump. I would love to see that debate. I'll probably go to Target, get me some popcorn, some goobers, probably boil me up some hot dogs and whatever, and I'm going to sit down and watch that fest. I would love to see that, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. But in that movie, it talks about Michelle Obama. She was part of a committee. I don't know all the details, but she was part of a committee that made the push to bulldoze Cabrini Green in Chicago. Of course, you know, the Obamas, they're fixtures in Chicago. That's their place. You know, Michelle Obama, she grew up there. And by the way, Michelle Obama had a charmed life when she was growing up. So when she comes out here, she makes it like, I had it rough just like my fellow black peoples. No, she didn't. But I was talking about, you know, what Michelle Obama did about bulldozing Cabrini Green. And there was a guy, he's a host of a show called New Orleans Wake Up, Warren. He comes on here, he talks about, well, Michelle Obama was surrounded by all these white people. That's why she made that decision. As if Michelle Obama was intimidated of white folks. Like, shoot, I'm surrounded by white folks, so I got to go along with the white folks. Now, if that's the case, I don't know why Michelle Obama has so much admiration from black folks, but I digress. But I would recommend that movie, Michelle Obama 2024. But there was it was another case that was discussed in that movie, and I pulled this article up from The Federalist, and it is dated April the 12th, 2023. So this is a few days ago. This is just a few days ago. and see, this is the thing. Now, you know when people idolize certain people because they don't, they know that this person is responsible for what's going wrong, but they won't call them out on it. Kind of like what they're doing with Joe Biden right now, you know, the liberals, they know the country is going down the toilet because of Joe Biden, but they don't want to call him out. And they did this with the Obamas as well because, oh, the Obamas, you can't touch them. They're black, you know. And really, to be honest with you, the most admired person among all of them is Michelle Obama because she's a strong black queen of a woman. And before I go on, you know, we talk about gentrification in these different cities. You know, it's going on in Washington, D.C. It's going on here in Durham, North Carolina. Various cities, they're gentrifying these areas. They're improving them. They're cleaning them up. And 9 times out of 10, it turns out white people move into those areas. And, you know, people make the argument that, oh, they just don't like black people. They're kicking black people out of their neighborhoods, forcing them somewhere else. They're raising the prices because they don't want black people there. Can someone tell that to Michelle Obama? Someone please tell that to Michelle Obama. Of course, they're not going to say that because she's the queen. She's our goddess. But anyway, let me go into this article. Students are misplaced. Wait a minute. Let me see. Okay. All right. Let me go to the title first. I'm about to read the subtitle. Woke University of Chicago students too afraid to call out Obama for gentrifying the South Side of Chicago. Students are misplacing their outrage and failing to call out the real cause of the problem. Barack Obama. A group of leftist students at the University of Chicago are demanding their university pay over $1 billion in reparations to Chicago's South Side residents for displacing black people living in the area. There's just one problem. The university, which has been located in Chicago's Hyde Park since 1890, is not what's displacing the residents. It is Barack Obama and his presidential center that have caused the median home price to more than double in the South Side, forcing people to leave the area. Obama claims that his $500 million presidential center, scheduled to be complete in 2025, will change Chicago's Woodlawn and South Shore neighborhoods for the better. But residents told the Federalist that isn't true. Change Woodlawn and South Shore for the better. Tell that to most cities you go into that have a Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue or Speedway or whatever. But I digress. I'm getting off kilter here. Let me continue. I just think it's a crime, said one resident. Black Americans are not going to be able to afford to live over here because property tax is going to be higher. The cost of living is definitely going up, another resident told the Federalist, adding that she believes the center is being utilized to move crime around. The locals are going to be able to stay here, some of them, but they won't be able to participate because they won't be able to afford it. Resident Lynn Franco described the center as a land grab since it took 19 acres of land away from the historic Jackson Park. What is very heartbreaking is that a part of our park, Jackson Park, was taken from us, stated Franco. A lot of the green has been taken. This was just a land grab, in my opinion. Tahiti Hamer, a 42-year-old single mother of three, born and raised in South Shore, was priced out of her rental in 2021. After the Obama Center broke ground that same year, her landlord raised the rent by nearly percent. I'm a working mother who can't afford to live in my own community that I've lived in for 42 years, Hamer told the Washington Post. I wonder if the Washington Post came out and blamed Obama. Once again, I digress. The student group known as the University of Chicago Against Displacement, UCAD, acknowledged the impact of the Obama Center, writing in a press release that the demanded reparations are especially crucial at this moment as the Obama Center in Jackson Park increases land values and, in turn, rental prices. However, the group has directed all its self-righteousness at the university, falsely declaring the institution has a legacy of chattel slavery and calling for reparations from the university for long-term, true, affordable housing on Chicago's South Side for 20 years. Now, this is idolatry at its finest. Don't want to blame the real cause of the prices going up. They want to blame the university. It's their fault. The students' chattel slavery accusation is attributed to the land endowment the university received in the 1850s from Senator Stephen A. Douglas, a slave owner and supporter. And of course, you all know Stephen Douglas debated with Abraham Lincoln, and he was soundly defeated by Abraham Lincoln. However, the university moved to a completely different location in Chicago in 1890 with no financial support from Douglas. Y'all, now you all can understand why you need to look into a matter before you start making judgments. The school's website dates its founding to 1890, and slaves neither built the university's original campus nor its current one. Wait a minute. I thought slaves built this country. Something ain't right here. I thought slaves built this country. In fact, the university's Hyde Park campus was constructed nearly 30 years after the U.S. abolished slavery. The student activists did not provide any evidence for how the university is currently displacing black residents, and that's because it isn't. It's not the university. And Obama's like, you know, go ahead with the land. I mean, I don't think about these people too much anyway. Me and Michelle, we live on an island off the coast of Massachusetts in a house that costs $15 million. So let me be clear. Continue on with your building. In fact, let me go on. The student activists did not provide any evidence for how the university is currently displacing black residents. This is a key personality trait of the apostles of blackness. They make an accusation, but they have no evidence to back it up. While the university supports the Obama Presidential Center, the true cause for the ongoing gentrification of the South Side, drum roll, is Barack Obama. Since the project was first announced, many Southsiders have been vocally opposed to the center and hypercritical of Obama. The former president has not listened to them, though. If the leftist students really wanted to help the Southsiders, they could appeal directly to Obama, who may be inclined to listen to students who are part of the community where he taught and his two daughters went to school. As is typical of woke warriors, the students' activism isn't about enacting real change. Social justice is about making oneself feel good. The students' refusal to look past their politics and call out the true source of the problem, Barack Obama, is characteristic of University of Chicago leftists and liberal college students in general. No, we're not going to point it out. No, not Obama. For years, students at the University of Chicago have rallied allegedly on behalf of Black Chicagoans to abolish both the university's police department and the Chicago Police Department, but Black Chicagoans in Hyde Park repeatedly indicated their opposition to removing the police and affirmed that the area needs more officers. That's interesting. When student activists insist Black Chicagoans are victims, they are not wrong. The catch and release policies of Soros-funded Cook County District Attorney Kim Fox and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's Cash Bail Abolishing Safety Act, colloquially known as the Purge Law, makes poor, minority-occupied neighborhoods more dangerous. Should I go on? This is a pretty lengthy article. Oh, it's not too lengthy. Democrat welfare programs disincentivize marriage and encourage decades of fatherless households. The children of absent fathers have an outsized association with poverty, incarceration, poor educational outcomes, and drug and alcohol abuse. 15 years ago, Obama aptly spoke out about the absent father epidemic among Black Americans. Yet throughout his political career, he did nothing to combat the issue and instead dramatically expanded the welfare state. Today, 65% of Black children are being raised in single-parent households. Furthermore, during his time as an Illinois politician, Obama stridently supported the teachers' unions. The Chicago Teachers Union, which wields massive control over the Chicago City Council and the newly elected Mayor Brandon Johnson, he's turning out to be a bigger monster than Lori Lightfoot, but once again, I digress, makes it nearly impossible to fire bad teachers, lobbies for radically left-wing policies such as defunding the police and shut down in-person learning during COVID, all at the expense of Chicago students, many of whom are Black. The displacement of Southside residents reveals Democrats' true feelings toward minorities. Yep. We talk about this all the time, but, you know, members of the Apostles of Blackness, they don't want to listen. The privileged leftist university students purposely misplaced their performative outrage because they care more about politics than the Southsiders. Obama was happy to take Chicago's Black votes during his Senate and presidential elections, but his actions show he doesn't care about the Southsiders or Black people in general. And I would dare say his wife doesn't either, even though she gets up and she talks about, you know, Black people this and Black people that, and, you know, people going to think you're the help and all this stupid mess, they're going to look down on you because you're Black, and that white people ignore her. They pretend that she doesn't even exist, even though I can go into a Harris Teeter, which is a grocery store around here. I can go into a Harris Teeter and point out a magazine where you see her picture plastered on the front of the magazine, even though she hasn't lived in the White House in 6 years. But we still seeing her on magazine covers, and I'm like, why the heck do we keep on seeing her on magazine covers? I think she's been on more magazine covers than even Hillary Clinton. But oh no, America is a racist nation. America was built on the backs of slaves. America's original sin was slavery. And every time that ghost appears, everybody, oh, look, I see. Don't you see the ghost? Don't you see the specter? But see, I've been telling people for years, I have been telling people for years on this program, the Obamas don't care about you. They do not care about you. They care, what they care about is what you can do for them. They will talk about racism. They'll talk about climate change. They'll talk about LGBTQ rights. They'll just give you a bunch of lip service, but they don't do anything. They don't do a cotton picking thing. All they're doing is enriching themselves. They're just riding that black wave to enrich themselves. That's all they do. That's all the Obamas have ever done. Barack Obama acquired his admiration based on the one drop rule. Y'all know what the one drop rule is. If you got a little drop of black in you, you're black. Of course, Barack Obama is probably, he's one third black. He's black, white, and Arabian. But he rolled that black wave, and oh my goodness, when he passed that torch to Michelle Obama, it was like, oh my goodness. But Michelle Obama is the one that people are really praising. And she didn't spend any time. She, you know, did you all know that Michelle Obama was disbarred some years ago? She was disbarred, I think, in Illinois or Chicago. I don't have the details, but she was disbarred from practicing law. But of course, you know, oh no, ignore that. She's a beautiful black queen. Come to sit on her throne of authority. You don't see Barack Obama's picture as much as you do Michelle Obama's. Michelle Obama is the one because she's black. And she's a woman. Those two factors right there make her the ultimate in godhood. Michelle Obama can sneak up on somebody, slit their throat, and steal their wallet. And people will still hold her in admiration. Hillary says, I'm waiting for Hillary, Jay-Z, and Beyonce to throw us another free concert during a, yeah. But we idolize these people. We idolize them because they got the skin color and they got the politics. And see, in the eyes of most black people, and yes, I'm going to say it, and then you can quote me saying it, in the eyes of most black people, Barack Obama is a level beneath Michelle Obama. That's the one that they really want. That's the one they really worship. That's who they really worship. Back in the day when Bill Clinton was president and Hillary Clinton was the first lady, the people they really wanted to go after was Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton that is the person that they wanted to be president. They wanted to ride. Basically, Hillary Clinton rode the coattails of her husband to get to the position she's at right now. That's why a lot of people were so disappointed in 2016 when she did not win the election. She was going to be the ultimate. And I would dare say this. We see how bad Joe Biden is messing up this country. We see it. But I think it probably would have been five times as worse if Hillary had won. That's just a personal belief I have. That's my opinion. But I think it would be even worse. And to be honest with you, I didn't think it could get any worse than Barack Obama. But then, lo, here comes Joe Biden, and oh my goodness, And once again, people don't want to speak out on Joe Biden because, hey, we voted for him. We voted for him because, you know, and I'd rather have Joe Biden than that orange man, than the Cheeto man. The Cheeto man with the golden retriever on his head. I still remember when every liberal news channel said she had more than a 90% chance of winning. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I thought she would have won too, because I was like, no matter how many votes Donald Trump had gotten, I thought they had something up their sleeve. Well, the ace they had up their sleeve came 4 years later, and I'm not going to even talk about that right now, but I really thought they had an ace up their sleeve and they were going to try to snatch the election away from Donald Trump, which I did not vote for Donald Trump. I didn't vote for him that first time because I wasn't convinced about him. Because I'm one of them type of people, you know, I just don't, I'm not the person who votes for the lesser of two evils. I'm not that type of person. And I don't care if your views are similar to mine or anything like that, but I don't vote for the lesser of two evils. There have been times I didn't even vote for president. And I know a lot of people out there, well, you can't complain about the country. You can't complain about the state the country is in. You can say that all you want to. But that's me. That's me telling me I'm sick of all of you. you say my voice, my vote is my voice. Well, my non-vote is my voice too. And it's telling, and when I don't vote or I go to the polls and I write my name in, that's telling me, that's me telling you I'm sick of all of you. My sister said, that's because you're a coon. Well, if I'm a coon, I'm just a coon. And I'll go on cooning. Matter of fact, I think I need to get a t-shirt that says, Coons of the World Unite, you know. But yeah, I watch these people. I listen to them. And yeah, it would have been easy. And don't get me wrong. There have been times I've slipped and believed someone when I shouldn't have and should have looked into it and everything. But when I realized my mistake, I'm like, hey, you know what? I messed up. Let me keep on going forward. But a lot of us, we're not going to look into a situation. We're not going to say, okay, well, let me look into it. If it favors a black person or whatever, we're not going to look into it and go over it with a fine-tooth comb. It could be a lie, and people will still believe that lie. Anyway, my goodness, this first hour just went by so quick, I'm telling you. Let me go to the advertisements, and when I come back, I might finish up my argument or I might go straight to the phones. But anyway, you are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
Show everybody. If you would like to be a guest, a call in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you know, when I left in the first hour, I was talking about, you know, the inconsistencies of people's loyalty to certain people in the Democrat Party, i.e. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, the Clintons, you know, folks of that sort, you know, and you point it out and people just tend to ignore it. You know, I run into it all the time on Facebook. My goodness. On Facebook, it just, you know, the ignorance of some people, and yes, some stupidity as well. It just boggles the mind. It really does. And, me, I might lean conservative, but that does not mean that I'm just going to go out all out for a person if he's caught up in something wrong. You know, I got too much sense for that, you know. And you all know that how they're going after Clarence Thomas and of course, Donald Trump. You know, they've been going after Clarence Thomas for years, you know. And my wife was saying they want to get Clarence Thomas out of there. So just in case, if the Democrats win, they could get somebody to replace him. I said, yeah, that's basically what they want to do. And they've been demonizing Clarence Thomas since 1991, you know. And the levels that they go against Clarence Thomas, there's no proof that the person who's been giving him rides on the yachts or whatever they're accusing him of, there is no proof that this man has contributed to in any way to Clarence Thomas. And all they heard was that this man was a Republican contributor. And, you know, they hear about him with Clarence Thomas, and now everybody's, ooh, oh, yeah, we got Clarence Thomas now. The guy just happens to be a friend of Clarence Thomas. And until any raw evidence comes to the surface, I'm not joining that bandwagon, because I know that people have been gunning for Clarence Thomas for a little more than 30 years now. And I was in my early 20s when this was when this occurred, you know, back in 1991, you know, and the allegations, the Anita Hill hearings and all that crazy mess, you know, and even back then I was disgusted at how they treated Clarence Thomas. Yes, even though I was in my early 20s, I know a lot more now than I did then. But even back then, I was like, you know what? They're just trying to railroad this guy, you know. And I don't know what part Anita Hill plays in this. I really do think she was a plant or whatever to make these false accusations against him, because the day before he was supposed to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. Here she comes. And she puts on the little act, and she's got that little sad look on her face and everything. And I'm sitting there like, you know what? I can see right through that. This is all a show. That's all it is. That's it. That's it. Wait, Lightfoot and Jean Pierre for 20. Oh boy, you. I'm not gonna go there. But wait a minute. What's that sound? Fruit bat alert. I'm trying to, you know, mix it up a little bit, you know. But anyway, that's the fruit bat alert. Y'all know what that sound means. That means I'm about to go to the phones. And if you are on the phone and you want to indulge in disrespect, that's excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, disrupting the program, trolling, things of that sort. You best hang up now, because if you indulge in that type of activity, I will be happy to oblige you, okay? So we're adults here. We can have a proper discussion without all the mudslinging and everything. So having said that, let me go to the phones. And I think I know who this is. I think I know. Uh-oh. You come through? Uh-oh. Hello, caller. Going once. Going twice. Okay, I don't know what's going on there, but I think that's Bianchi. I think I recognize that phone number. I think that's Bianchi, you know. He comes on the show, gives his little tidbits and everything. And whatever, but I'm pretty sure he was probably chomping at the bit when he heard Chicago, when I was talking about Chicago and what the Obamas are doing to black folks in Chicago, you know. And every time we hear the word gentrification, we think of white folks kicking black people out of their neighborhoods, you know, because they don't want black people living in those neighborhoods. And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that in a lot of these cities where where gentrification is taking place, you have black people in the leadership of those cities. Like here in Durham, we have several black people. I think I talked about this last week. Our mayor is black. Our chief of police is black. Our head attorney is black. They're all black women, all of them, all black women. And they're so proud about being in this position because they're black women and we're so proud of this and everything, but they don't give a rip pair of jeans about the well-being of the citizens in their cities. They don't care about that. But, you know, people always saying, oh, gentrification, oh, it's just the white people want to get rid of the black people. But use some common sense, folks. A lot of the most, if not all, of these major cities have some black person among their leadership. So you can't, you know, like people talk about the racism in Baltimore. Most of Baltimore's leadership is black. So you really can't use that argument. Or as a friend of mine says, you really don't have a toenail to stand on. And this is one thing. What's going to clear this up? The thing that is going to clear this up is black folks are going to have to adopt a skill of critical thinking. A lot of us don't use critical thinking skills. We don't. We just go off into the mode of just reacting, you know, because we're more emotional than we are intellectual. We just go with our emotions because it's easy to go at your emotions. It really is. You know, you feel a certain way and you just want to go with that instead of using common sense and saying, okay, you know, I hear what the story is. I hear what the story is, but let me figure this out. Let me see what is actually going on. Let me see all the details. Let me see the evidence. No, evidence be damned. They don't care about the evidence. All they care about is their feelings. And whenever you go by your feelings, if you're a person who is led by your feelings, you're going to come out at the bottom all the time. Every single time, you're going to come out at the bottom. And all you are is a pawn that is fit to be used by the elites. Y'all ever play chess? I suck at chess. I still play it, though. But the pawn is the weakest piece on the chessboard. And it's usually the pawns that suffer the most damage when you're playing chess. And that's all a lot of black people are pawns that are being used to help along a political process. That's all a lot of black people are. But until we get to that point where we start thinking about what we've been thinking about and say, you know what? I live in this doggone country. This is the best country in the world. This is the freest country in the world. I'm going to take advantage of these opportunities that I have to better my intellectual worldview. I'm going to go to the library. I'm going to go to Amazon and pick up some books. Yeah, you might have to take some classes too. A lot of us, we are so mentally and intellectually lazy, it actually shows itself in physical form. It leads to physical laziness. And people think that what they heard on the news is the truth. They think the news media is going to tell them all they need to know. And then when someone wants to present a different worldview, they want to sit there flat-footed there and they're like, look, I heard this on the news. I don't know what you're talking about. And if I ain't never heard it, that means it must not be true. And if you are thinking like that, once again, you are stupid. And the news media just loves you. Our liberal democratic processes, they just love you because they can tell you anything and you'll sit there and believe it right at the drop of a hat without any investigation whatsoever. I mean, we have Google, we have the internet, we can go look things up. But yet and still, a person from another country can come over here, gain citizenship, and they excel you intellectually in just a year and a half or 2 years more than you have in the past 20 years. Because they understand the opportunities that they have in this country. They don't have those opportunities where they come from. They come over here, see, in their countries, they believe in hard work. They don't have welfare in Nigeria or Liberia. They don't have that over in a lot of those countries over there. But they come over here, they bring that work ethic over here, and next thing you know, they're the ones buying the land and nice cars and everything. And we're sitting here like, well, what the world happened to us? I told you all that story about that man from Lithuania. He came over here as an immigrant some years ago. 2 years later, he was owning real estate. How come we can't do that? 2 years later, he took advantage of the opportunities that he saw in this country probably years before he even came here. And a lot of these people that come over here from other countries, they study the United States. They study it. And so when they come over here, they're prepared. They're prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that they have here in the United States. I guarantee you, you go to the library, you probably find more foreign people in the library than you find black people. Hate to say that. Be honest with you, I don't think the library is a safe place to go for our children today, but I digress. But my point is, they take advantage of the learning opportunities that we have here that they didn't have in their countries. Now, I say this a lot on this program. My wife is from Liberia. She didn't have the educational opportunities in Liberia that we have here. And she shakes her head at some people because she's like, you all just don't know. All this open to you, all this free opportunity for you. Yeah, of course it's gonna take a cost. It's gonna cost you your time, your money, probably a little bit of your sanity. But that's how you earn what you want. You don't just sit there and wait for someone to give it to you. You don't sit there and wait for it to come out the big blue. You go out there and you make your opportunity. You can seize on it. And see, this is the reason why I don't like the government getting into everything. This is the main reason why I don't believe in big government. Because you have big government, it starts closing those doors of opportunity. The government is necessary only to a point, to a certain level. But basically, what the government needs to do is to stay out of the way. Of course, you know, you follow the laws as they're listed in the Constitution. You stay out of people's way, and you let them make a living for themselves. You're not the source of people making their living. People can do that on their own. They can take their own resources and say, hey, I've got this. Let me use this towards my opportunity. But you know what a lot of people do? This is the reason why I'm against reparations. A lot of people, you know, you give them something and they just waste it. They just waste it. I was just talking to my wife a few minutes before this program, and she was talking about a friend of hers who's also from Liberia who lives here in Durham, said, they have family in Liberia, of course, and said all the money that they've been sending to them, they could have bought them a house. You know how much you could get a house in Liberia, a three-bedroom house? Something that would cost about $300,000 here in the United States. You know how much you can get a house in Liberia? $35,000. And my wife's friend was saying, you know, we sent them all this money all these years. They could have saved that money up and bought them a house. But what do? They take it and they spend it. They get nice clothes. And whatever, instead of something that they need, they go out there, they want to look good and wear nice clothes and stuff like that. But they're still begging for people in the States to give them money. Whoa, what in the world? Something real big just flew in front of my window. It looks like a red-tailed hawk. Looks like he took a perch on my, yeah. Oh, no, that's a crow. It's a crow. Woo, that thing was big. My goodness. But, folks, you have to be aware of people who are willing to take advantage of you, too. You can't just give to everybody who asks of you. You can't just, oh, yeah, okay, you want something? Okay, here you go. Because you got to take care of yourself first. That's why I always tell people, and it might sound selfish or whatever, but you got to take care of yourself first. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you won't be in a position to help take care of somebody else. Other people don't make money just so you can ask them for it so you can spend it on yourself, because these people need to take care of themselves first. They have families. They have things that they want to do. They have dreams and aspirations they want to make come to pass. But you sitting there clawing from – that's why a lot of these sports figures, a lot of them, you know, when they retire, they go broke. Now, some of them, they use foolish spending habits. Like, I remember hearing about Mike Tyson. He was worth $300 million at one time. And then he went broke because he out there buying white Tigers and Rolls Royces and everything like that. And I really do believe that a lot of these people who are rich and they live in these fancy houses and stuff like that, you know, the access of money that you make after you buy your house, after you buy your car and everything, whatever you have left over, you should use that to help take care of someone else and help somebody else, you know, get over the hump. Don't just be a bank to them, because a lot of people, they'll just take your money and spend it, and they keep asking you for money. Keep on asking. But they're not doing anything to improve themselves. They see you as a money account. Oh, this guy, I got the money. He'll give it to me. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to use this money to take advantage of opportunities that are open to me. And I know I sound like I'm preaching and everything and stuff like that. I'm not trying to sound preachy or anything, but that's how it should be. And if you're not working as hard, you're just sitting around being lazy, don't sit there and say that you deserve somebody else's hard-earned money. That's not for you to judge. You don't sit there and, oh, he got the money. You know, like these people, they break into these jewelry shops and they steal the merchandise. They say, oh, they got enough insurance money. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall. If reparations ever come to pass, let's just say they do, I would love to be the fly on the wall. For these people who are begging for reparations, I would love to be a fly on the wall to see how they would spend those reparations. I would love, because you know what? You give everybody their reparations, still won't be enough. They'll still cry about something. Let's say you gave every person that asked for reparations $40 million or $4 million. Let's just say you do that. A lot of them people, that $4 million be gone by the end of the year, and then they'll get up there complaining and say, you didn't give me enough. No, we gave you enough, but you wanted to go out here and spend your money on vices and everything? Going to the club, going to the casinos? Instead of saying, hey, let me find something to invest this money in. Or let me save up my money for an emergency or something like that. Nah, they go out there and they spend it. Oh, man, I can buy that Cadillac now. Why you got to buy a Cadillac? Why can't you get a Toyota? Reparations is not going to help, you know, it's not going to help the cause of black people in this country. I'm sad to say that, you know. Really, I'm not, I'm really not sad to say it. It's just common sense, really. Let me see if I can go back to these phones again. Let me see. Hello, caller. Oh, I can't can't get this one. I think that's Bianchi. But let me put him back on mute. I got another caller here. And Rita is saying, you know, she said, and you wonder why when black people get a little money, they end up broke. They got to get new diamond grills, expensive clothes, jewelry, and other stupidity. Exactly. And I like your use of stupidity in there because that's exactly what that is, stupidity. Let's see. Let me see if I can get this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Not much, man. Listen to your show, and, you know, a lot of what you're saying is very true. You know, and you have to be disciplined, and you have to look out for yourself. Because a lot of people, they're looking for, out for themselves. They're really not looking out for you because we live in a very narcissistic atmosphere these days, you know. And people need to realize that it's good to help people, but first you got to help yourself first. And there's no way I'd be spending all that money. If I had spent all that money sending back to another country, I'd been having me a house by now. I wouldn't be constantly calling you, I need some money. Or I would invest it to do something like that. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I see where people be willing, the lottery and everything. How in the world you going to have, would they say, $20 million and you're going to be broke? I mean, get your interest bearing account on 10%. What's 10% of, or even 5% of would this say $10 million? That's, what, $500,000? I don't know about you, but I could live very comfortable after $500,000. That's what, $2,000-$3,000 plus a week.
Yeah.
Food,
and,
travel.
A lot of people they don't look at it like that. They just say, "Oh, I got money, I can spend it." You know, here lately, I've started investing in metals like copper and silver, and of course, I still got the stash account and learned that nearly $1,000 was put into my stash account, so that one went up a little bit. And I tell people, learn to make your money work for you. I'm not a financial guru or anything like that, but a lot of people, they think when they get a large sum of money that, you know, hey, we got to spend. Hey, I saw something I wanted at the mall the other day. Let's go get it. Instead of looking to see and say, okay, now, can we afford getting this? Because there are other things that we need. We need to look out for our well-being in the future. But a lot of people, they're like, oh, let me spend it on this. I'm going, you know, like Retta said, they got to get diamond grills and expensive clothes and all this other stuff. You know, you got to get the bling around your neck and everything and stuff like that. And then next thing you know, they're sitting there crying like, what happened? And then they want to cry again and say, well, you know, the reparations weren't enough. You know, the money that you gave us, it wasn't enough. So we need more money. No, nobody is your own personal bank. You got to go out and make things work. You can't depend on the government because if you're depending on the government is going to make sure you stay dependent on them. And see, that's the reason why our government is the way they are now, because they want to be your rulers. They want to be your God, so to speak, you know. And that's why a lot of people, you know, that's why I get real cautious of people when they talk about, oh, we're going to expand government regulation. They're just trying to get you to get more dependent on them. That's all it's about. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, like I heard this pastor one time saying that he was believing God, that the government would get everybody, every black person, $4 million. And I'm sitting there like, you are one stupid rascal. You are one stupid rascal. First of all, they're going to raise everybody's taxes, which means you're going to be getting back some of the money that the government taxed from you. And you're not a slave. You never were a slave. You were never a slave, but you know, you want to say, oh, I'm still suffering from trauma from slavery. How are you suffering trauma from slavery and you've never been a slave? It doesn't make any sense. And then they'll say, oh, well, the Jews got theirs. Well, first of all, the United States didn't pay that off. That was the Germans. And the Japanese, those who were affected by the internment camps, those were the ones that got the reparations. They didn't just give it to any Japanese person willy-nilly. They gave it to those who were affected by the internment camps. So, you know, a lot goes into reparations. You know, people really need to be quiet about the reparations. Uh-oh, let's see. I got two more callers calling in. Let me get these callers in. I think I know who this one is. Hello, welcome to the
show.
Hey,
Vincent.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. A fruit bag grabbed my phone. I had to catch him.
So you had to go and chase him down.
Yeah.
Had to shoot that fruit bat, huh?
I ain't ran so hard in all my life. What's going on, man? You know
what's going on, eh?
Yeah, you're right about the reparations. And those the same descendants today, they owe reparations to those African tribes that their ancestors had issues with. That's why they kicked them out.
Yep.
So as soon as they get some reparations, well, they probably going to file some liens through the world court or something in order to get paid. But, you know, have you ever seen anything as really ridiculous as what occurred there with them people in Tennessee? With them
Yeah.
That's the most idiotic thing I ever seen.
Yeah.
And then one guy, Jones, he's an Asian.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's a Philippine. Filipino. An Asian. And he's up there talking all that civil rights jargon. Walking around with another old dinosaur, Joanne Bates.
Yeah.
Who was around back during the civil rights era. So they don't came out and all they're doing is exploiting these people. And they exploiting the whole issue that the poor kids had.
Yeah.
I talked to one with YouTube. And they say they just don't want to get killed in school. They have no issue with guns. They say,
yeah.
And they wouldn't know anyway. And what do they want? They can't do it. You know, like I'm telling you something else is more ignorant. Is Kamala Harris even showing up?
Oh, gosh. This gets better.
Kamala Harris is showing up and Biden making his leg don't point. You don't have anything to do with that. That's Tennessee. Tennessee want to expel some legislative members. That's their business. You break the rules.
Yeah. That's right.
But oh no, as soon as they break the rules and they get kicked out, then they want to reserve to black privilege and all the other. So you see, you had another caller.
Who was the guy? Who was the guy that threw the traffic cone into the guy's truck? Oh my
god. That was
goodness. Man.
He got convicted. He got indicted on that also.
Yeah, I saw that. I said, you got to be kidding me. And I think it was a Black Lives Matter incident. And
they was blocking the highway. I remember that good.
Yeah, trying to throw a cone, a traffic cone into someone's truck.
They were blocking the highway, and this particular driver, I guess he told him to get the heck out of the way. They trying to talk to him, and he drives off, and this dummy Jones savagely picks up a traffic cone and throws it in the man's window, trying to do great bodily harm to us. Lucky he didn't get shot.
Yeah, I mean, for real. And then we really would have heard that on the news.
Yeah, out there stopping people, want to get people in involuntarily involved in your mess. Then when they started marching, you know, it's something about these leftist Democrats. Whenever they see a march occurring, they have an organistic fit. They just start trembling and just organizing all over themselves. They just got to get in it. They just got to, I got to get in this. I got to get in this. Soon as they see
like
a
bunch of locusts. Like a bunch of locusts. You know? I mean, for real.
They took the march over. You got LGBTQ in the march. You got people marching for coming in, getting in the They just hijacked the whole movement.
Yeah.
For a bunch of women.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what Suzette wrote in my chat room. She says, I buy scratchers with all that money that goes to the schools. What do you need to buy scratchers for? Let me get this other caller. I think I know who this is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. I see you and Bianchi having a nice Saturday evening. How y'all doing?
Oh, what's up, man? Who am I talking to?
Hey, Naj.
It's Naj, man.
Oh, okay. What's up, man?
A lot. You guys got to keep up with these fast-moving stories.
Well, yeah, they're coming at light speed nowadays, so, you know.
No, you misinterpret my point. You guys are behind on the Tennessee story. Y'all don't have the new breaking stuff.
Oh, my goodness. So what's new?
Bianchi, you ain't going to believe this. So the head of the council who decided to remove them, right, Mr. Sexton, well, some investigative reporters started looking into him, and they found one Megan Lane, a lobbyist in the state of Tennessee, who is having an affair. And Mr. Sexton has been using his residency as Tennessee when he actually lives in another area of the state and has been billing the state for his travel expenses as if he did live there. So we got fraud. We got a situation with his marriage with ties to a lobbyist as far as his extramarital affair. Yeah, it's about to really get ugly in Tennessee. So sometimes when you go after somebody else, you got to be careful that you ain't got a whole bunch of stuff about to fall down on you. So, yeah, check that part of the story out, man. This just dropped, like, late last night, but it's everywhere now.
Well, that's Tennessee state legislature, who his wife, and that take care of that stuff. Those persons, the building. Well, that there's a problem. Who he messed with another woman, that ain't none of my business. And probably the average voters.
Tennessee has some old stuff on the books about infidelity and things like that as far as what a lawmaker can do. That's why that becomes a problem.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Any other state, Tennessee, like you said, you know.
Tennessee need to apply then. I heard that they could expel them idiots again. But, you know, that's Tennessee's legislature. They do whatever they want to. I mean, what the rules say. You know, the other thing, too, I wanted to talk to you about, Vincent, is Oregon passed that law allowing 10-year-olds to have an abortion without parental knowledge. And you can't get no dogs on lower than that, man. Who in the heck is running Oregon?
Yeah, I saw that, and they can get their transgendered surgeries without the parental consent. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, man, I tell you.
Again, we got to vet our sources, man. Like, no, 10-year-old doesn't have consent to make any bodily autonomy moves like that, man. Y'all got to vet y'all stories, brother.
Well, I was told by a person that lives in Oregon.
Okay.
They told me about it.
I'm just saying, man. We
now, I'll tell you something. It's funny because the opposite is going on in Louisiana because they are passing bills that give make it against the law to engage or even talk about any
thing with your child without you present.
Assignment without, absolutely. Plus, it gives back that power to, it makes it known, once again, emphasize that parental rights. When you had the COVID lockdown and sheriffs was going to churches, locking up the congregation and the preacher, you can't do that no more. It's against the law to do that. So that's a good thing.
Well, it sounds like Louisiana might be headed in the right direction, I guess.
Louisiana, when it comes down to things, basic rights, man, I sat down with a legislator here last week, I guess it was, and we were talking about some issues with a group on Article 5 Convention with Paula Davis, and my grandson went. But it was glad to see somebody as young as him getting involved at an early age. So anyway, you got to continue on the fight and maintain and make things the way they should be. And you're supposed to protect the rights and liberties of individuals.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's all about. You know, is We try to make it like it's based on the collective, basically. The only time that's true is when we have the voting process. But it's up to each individual to make something happen for their lives, not the government, you know, because government regulation just puts a damper on everything. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be some regulation, but when you go over the top, you know, that's just, you know, more government control and the government telling you what you can say and what you can't say and all this and everything. And that's not what the government is supposed to be doing. You know, the government's supposed to interpret the laws as they're listed in the Constitution and to protect us from foreign enemies. And I know I make that sound simple, but that's basically what their job is. But we've gotten to the point.
Yeah, okay, go 1700s, ahead. 1800s, that would be fine. 2023. Way more complicated world than that. Like, honestly, Georgia should have different laws than Tennessee, or rather than California, because you got different demographics who want and accept different things as norms. So I got no problem with some of these southern states, even though I don't agree with some of the things they're pulling up with. If a huge chunk of their constituency agrees and that's what they want to do, hey, that's fine. Same thing in California.
Well, that's constitutional. That's constitutional.
Indeed. I don't fall into the trap of saying, okay, the people on the other side who think differently than me must be devil-worshipping people who want to hurt children. Like we got to stop that stuff, man. It's petty. It's silly. Gets us nowhere, and we never have a real conversation because we're so busy being.
Right.
So that's what
I'm saying. You're absolutely right. You're right about that, Nas. It's the same thing with this abortion issue. If a state want to put some regulations, that's that state's business. I mean, look at New Mexico. Well, that governor passed a law where a woman can have an abortion at any point in time, even at the point in time when she's on her back and that baby's head is starting to protrude through her vagina, she can stop aborting. So if people want to kill their baby, go ahead on and kill them, but abide by the law. It's what laws are for.
Yeah. And me, you know, I see it as a moral issue. So, you know, but if that's the law, exactly, you know, it and just like Nas was saying, it in the Constitution, it says whatever is not listed in the Constitution, they leave that to the states to decide. And so that's a constitutional thing. You know, whatever the states say. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't speak out against the law, you know. you know, like I said, to me, abortion is a moral issue. You know, I know what the law is saying and everything, but I can still say that I believe abortion is child murder. You know, that's in spite of the law. And just because it's a law doesn't mean that it's, just because it's a law that it's someone's right and that is the right thing to do. You know, I can still speak against it, but once again, it is the law in that state. So,
Vincent, when you see a woman on TV showing pregnancy, she jumping up and down saying, yeah, next week I'm going to kill this SOB with holding on to her stomach. What do you do to a person like that? And nothing you can do but just stand back and shake your head. When she's saying, to her stomach, moving on that protrusion in her belly and saying, yeah, next week I'm going to kill this. What are you going to do? Ain't nothing you can do. You got people that's like that.
Yeah, but that's why you don't try these cases individually or look at these things individually. So you're going to have bad actors in every situation. Now, the question becomes, do you go after the bad actors so hard that you stop the people who legitimately need that in a crisis situation? So, you know what I'm saying? At a certain point, man, we got to respect the ballot box. Those people voted. And look, we had basically a countrywide referendum on this issue. Supreme Court ruled. States tried to put their policies in play. Some states it was able to stay, and some other states it looks like it was a disaster as far as rolling that out, getting rid of abortion. So it is what it is, man. But you're not going to win in California on that. You know what I mean? You're not going to win.
That's another problem. Yeah, that's another problem. These judges are making judges are not supposed to make laws.
Exactly.
They're supposed to hear argument between two or three parties and make an opinion. And even at that point, it's not a law. Therefore, they don't have to follow. It's kind of like an arbitration. You know, rather than going to court, they let you go to an arbitrator. You have an arbitrator listening to and examining your evidence. Then they make a decision, and people agree to abide by it.
Yeah,
I mean, just look at the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. You had states say, heck no, we're not doing that. And the federal government don't have any policing powers. They have none whatsoever. Only thing they can do is say we're going to withhold federal funding. Yeah, but here's the point. Where did the federal funding come from, Vincent? The federal funding comes from the states themselves. Some states say, well, we can withholding taxes. And you know, that's another thing.
Bianchi, we got to be careful with that because you start looking at these state budgets for Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee. Brother, without federal funding, most states would collapse.
I understand that. But it's just like your wife when she walk away and you was giving her an allowance. She say, I don't need the allowance. She gone. That's the only way. See, if things is a problem, so big of a problem, and that you recognize, then you're going to have to do the things necessary to get rid of that problem. It's like federal government having what's called federal land. There's nothing in the Constitution that say that the federal government is supposed to have lands within a state. Those are state lands, other than what it mentions. Just like Biden. Joe Biden has opened up the Willow reserves in Alaska for oil extraction. I forget which company. I think it's Chevron. Or maybe Conoco. I don't know. Chevron.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, the federal government will be able to extract $11 billion in fees off of the production of oil, they predict. Well, that money should go to the state of Alaska. That's Alaska's land. Alaska's oil. It shouldn't be going to the federal government and elsewhere throughout the country where that's going on. Could you imagine if Georgia was to pick up $11 billion based on oil extraction in their state or what's going on offshore within its boundaries? How much better would the state of Georgia be, Notch? That money being shared with the people in the state.
But well, remember they already do that in Alaska. You know, this was during the Palin years. This was something she really bragged about. But you know, every Alaskan would get their check every year based on the profits from some of their oil. Now, I don't know how far we can go with something like that as far as nationally, because, you know, different states, different resources or whatever. But you got to think
about
the Supreme
that.
Court. Kind of reminds me, I don't know if y'all saw the bombshell that dropped, but your boy Clarence is in big trouble, man. Now they got his name on a deed for selling property to that same benefactor, Harlan Rowe, who they're questioning him about now. So it looks like Clarence might have made some huge mistakes. He never declared selling the property or taking in the money. And I don't know, bro. Like, I know they're going to try to protect him in the Supreme Court, but y'all boy Clarence might be in some serious trouble, man.
Well, they've been trying to bring down on Clarence Thomas. That's why I come out for each state appointing a justice, a judge, where it is 50,
yeah,
and come up with a way to break a tie.
Yeah.
It needs to be, because of the workload that they have and everything else, it needs to be 50 Supreme Court judges. Then that old wrangling that goes on associating the next president with the ability to add justices in order to get a majority here, a majority there. That's a bunch of bullcrap. You know, every year you got people in roles that amend the Constitution anyway through the process of these presidential rulings. That's ridiculous.
Right. So if you expand the court to 50, like you're saying, you take away the political advantage of even using the court the way that they're using it now, liberal or conservative, who use it politically, you take that away, then it just becomes a governing body, and it's not, you know, subject to the whims of, is RBG going to retire because Obama's going out? Like, you know, just the planning that they do and talk about it openly, you know what I'm saying? And they talk about it openly. Some people who hated Trump's guts, but they knew they wanted a Supreme Court justice, so they were going to vote Trump. And that shouldn't be a part of the calculus. I think you're right.
You're right. Go ahead.
In the chat room, a couple of people in the chat room, my sister Retta saying, I would love to see them go after Democrats with this much energy. They've been going after Thomas forever. And Suzette saying, can't believe all allegations without evidence. And that's the thing, you know.
Evidence of a bill of sale with your signature is kind of evidence.
They had birth certificates of Obama too, showing this, that, and the other. But what about Kagan? And remember, Ginsburg and Kagan voted on same-sex marriage when they, before the vote, had officiated same-sex marriage. So they should have recused themselves. And if they had it would have been a whole different
vote. They wouldn't
vote
have won
outcome.
That vote. No. They would have had to wait till, what, Obama's second term to get that through? Yeah, because they wouldn't have won on that. That's for damn sure. Because you remember how quick that changed. For the majority of my life, most people didn't agree with that kind of marriage. It changed around, you know, 2010, 2012. It slightly moved a little bit where people were like, okay, do what you want. Just stay away from me with that stuff. You know what I mean? That's what people came to.
That's another law Louisiana is passing, that the gender you were born with is the gender they're going to identify you with in Louisiana until you have to 18 years of age.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think a lot
too.
Of states going to do that one. Yeah, that's an easy win. You know what I mean? Because the people who agree with you on that, I think you're in the majority in most places. I think, you know, only a few places are going to have laws and stuff like that goes through. But again, going back to that Clarence Thomas situation, y'all can Google this right now and pull up the stuff. Like, this is not like rumors or Washington talk or something like that. This is like a serious thing he's got to deal with, man. And, you know, if you're a Supreme Court justice and you get money under the table and this guy's paying for vacations around the world on his yacht, that's not a good look.
Well, I don't think anything more. I don't think of anything with the yacht traveling. I mean, if you got a friend, I don't fly no more, but I don't even fly with friends. But, I flew with a friend. You should fly. Right now, a friend can fly you someplace if you share the gas. How you know he didn't share the fuel?
Yeah. And of course,
a super yacht. So we're talking about a fuel charge of, like, you know, once you dock that thing, after you go where you're going, talking about like $30,000. Like this ain't no like little tugboat, man.
Yeah, we don't know.
Simple gas money.
Yeah, but they also said that the GOP contributor didn't contribute to Clarence Thomas at all. So, you know, I really don't see the problem with that.
Who said that? Because I'm reading the story right here, man. I got the story right in front of me. So who said that?
They said that the GOP, the person who was a GOP contributor, didn't really contribute to Thomas. He didn't contribute to Thomas.
His name is Harlan Crow, and he's the chairman of American Enterprise Institute, and they have cases that go in front of the Supreme Court. So, brother, that's just not accurate, my man. I got the story right here. Y'all can go pull it up, the Washington Post, New York Times, wherever you want. It's the biggest story of the day.
Okay, well, you know, like I said, like I always say on this show, you know, a lot of times when I hear something, to me, it's just an allegation until hard evidence actually comes out. Because one thing I'm very cautious of, like I said, they've been after Justice Thomas since 1991. And they've just been after him until they can find something that'll stick. You know, and
I hear a lot of excuses.
Let's put things in line. Let's go with Hunter Biden and his laptop. Let's go with Joe Biden and his bribing of the Ukraine government and about four or five or six other things. Then we get down to Thomas.
Okay, ask me about those things, and I'll respond to y'all. Ask me about those things.
Well, we're about to run out of time. So we won't have a lot of time to really discuss it. But
they need to be brought up on charges, man. I'm not sitting here trying to cover for them or making excuses for them. If they did those things, they need to go.
Yeah, we not arguing with you. We just have the things that we have taken notice of and seen and wondered and shook our head because nothing developed out of it.
I'm just saying, man, conservatives told me it was always about accountability. And then when I talk to y'all and something happened on y'all's side, you know, I don't know, man.
Well, with me, it has nothing to do with politics. It just has to do with...
And I already said it. I wish that Ginsburg and Kagan had been punished too, or should I say reprimanded, because of what they've done. I wish that...
I agree.
I wish that Maxine Waters should face the same type of ethics punishment for what she said out in public, just like these two in Tennessee it got crony with.
Now, the Maxine thing is
Congressman
Clay
had got brought to ethics because he was eating in the congressional lunchroom and wasn't paying his bill and ran it up to $30,000.
That's crazy. Now, I didn't know about that one.
Well, guys,
but hold on. Well, can I say this before you sign off? On the Maxine thing,
okay.
Now, this is the tough stuff about going after anti-Maxine. Everything she did was legal because we've kind of legalized bribery. So, as wrong as Maxine is, it's by the letter of the law, and it's why all of the rest of them get away with it. It's why we need campaign finance reform. It's why we need to stop them from being able to profit from insider information they get as, you know, members of a political body. So I understand what you're saying about Maxine, but the only thing is we got to change the laws because what she did was legal, and that's why all of them get away with it. All of them bought Zoom stock before the pandemic ended.
Yeah, I'm talking about when she's out inciting riots and stuff.
No, man.
Inciting people to go there. That thing is really, really terrible. She should have been reprimanded. Separate times she did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guys, I'm going to have to cut you off. Thank you all for coming on the show. I really appreciate you all's dialogue and your $2.50 worth of rhetoric. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to get ready to sign off
Vincent,
now and
I
everything.
Got a new hobby. I got a new hobby. I'm going into pizza making, man. Pizza. I'm starting making pizza. I got all the equipment and stuff. I'm going to start making pizza and experimenting on my grandson. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, okay. Pianchi's Pizza. I like that. Well, folks, that's going to be the end of the show. Next week, God willing, should have another version of Black by Color Only. unless something, you know, just comes out of the blue or whatever. But you all stay safe out there. Stay safe. Enjoy your week. This is Benson E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all take care of yourselves.